The weather tonight, unfortunately, mostly cloudy and mild with some patchy rain. And that's the BBC News coming up to 7:03.
Loving where we live. This is BBC Surrey.
25 years ago today, BBC Local Radio launched for the very first time in Surrey and North East Hampshire. I'm Mark Carter and I've worked here for the past 15 years in a variety of roles, most recently as a presenter and now as the current managing editor of the station. In this special programme, we celebrate the history of BBC Surrey from its launch on the 14th of November 1991 to where we are now. And this is how the new service was promoted in test transmissions just prior to that big launch.
Hello and welcome along to another Surrey Challenge. I'm Fred Frimley and with me I have two contestants, Billy Bagshot.
Hello.
And Felicity Farnham.
Hello.
Welcome along, both competing for the prestigious title of Surrey Smart 91. Let's get right underway with the first question. What's the name of the new BBC local radio station coming to Surrey? Billy.
Surrey South.
No.
Radio Surrey?
Radio Surrey, I'm afraid not. Very close though, it is in fact BBC Radio Surrey.
BBC.
Yes. What frequency can BBC Radio Surrey be heard on? Felicity.
It's on the tip of my tongue. I'm sorry, I've forgotten.
98.8,
but no, that's Radio 1. I'm sorry. In fact, it is 104.6 FM.
104.6.
Yeah, remember that. Okay, final question then. When does BBC Radio Surrey go on the air? I think that was Felicity.
So it's one of those trick questions, isn't it?
Yes, never. It's never going on the air.
No, in fact, BBC Radio Surrey starts broadcasting from Thursday, the 14th of November.
Quite
incredible. Absolutely no score. I thought everyone would know all about BBC Radio Surrey. Well, that's it for Surrey Challenge for this week. Three more contestants will be battling for the title next time. Until then, from me, Fred Frimley, bye-bye.
The day to remember is the 14th of November. BBC Radio Surrey on 104.6 FM.
So yes, the original BBC Radio Surrey only had one frequency, the 104.6 FM, primarily covering West Surrey and North East Hampshire. The first voice on air was that of John Terrett, and these are some of his memories of those early days.
The build-up to Radio Surrey was a tremendously exciting time. The first thing that we all noticed when we got there was that we had a brand spanking new building to play with big, roomy studios and a big, light and airy newsroom. And it was on the campus, still is, of course, on the campus of Surrey University. And at the time, none of us could think of another BBC local radio station that had such luxurious facilities. And I never forget standing in the record library, looking out the window, and there's a slight hill behind the building. It's built into a hillside. And you look right up into the tower of Guildford Cathedral. It's a wonderful location, of course. Tremendous place for a local radio station to be. The team of people brought together by the manager and the head of programs were lots of young people from all over the BBC. And the night before we launched, I got up very, very early and drove into Broadcasting House, because in those days we didn't put out Five Live overnight because there was no Five Live. In those days we put out Radio 2, and Alex Lester was the presenter on the air overnight, and I got him to record a special recording saying, well, that's it from me, Alex Lester, and now for the very first time it's time to welcome John Terrett and the new BBC Radio Surrey.
That's all from me, Alex Lester, back tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock. Now if you live in Surrey, for the very first time we hand you over to a brand new radio station, BBC Radio Surrey.
And you've waited a long time for a BBC radio station in this part of the world. And today, our staff of 12 journalists, producers and engineers turned what has been months of planning into a reality. Good morning and welcome. BBC Radio Surrey broadcasts on 104.6 FM. And from now on, our promise to you is the latest news and current affairs, be they international, national or local issues, all presented with the help of Surrey people. In a few minutes after our first news, I'll be with you for the first edition of the John Terrett Breakfast Programme. And in the programme in the first hour, a new chairman of the Conservative Backbench Committee on Europe, and one believed to have John Major's blessing. Where now for the Tory sceptics? A Serb and Croatian living in Surrey assess Lord Carrington's chances of bringing peace to troubled Yugoslavia. And the Lockerbie bombing. Will charges be pressed nearly 3 years after the disaster?
BBC Radio Surrey in the morning with John Terrett.
And that was how the station launched in November of that year. And I was there in the studio, very nervous, of course. But we had a terrific team on the program. And our producer was Anna Hill, who went on to be the presenter of Farming Today on Radio 4. We only played a few records in the first hour. After 7 until 9, it was speech all the way, and it was a wonderful mixture of local and national and international news. We felt it was a very sophisticated audience, and so we wanted to do obviously the local news, because that's what we're there for. But we wanted to broaden it out, and so we were doing whatever was on the international agenda as well. And I remember also covering the build-up to the US elections as well as the UK elections. And talking of the UK elections, we did a special in which we reflected the 1992 election. That was the one Neil Kinnock was expected to win, but he didn't. John Major came from behind and won with a big majority in Parliament. And we covered all the constituencies in Surrey. Somebody got up and thanked BBC Radio Surrey for their coverage in the build-up to the 92 election and for being there on the night to cover the results in all the constituencies. And that felt very good, because we knew we'd really broken through.
Tune in to the John Terrett Breakfast Programme. If you do, you'll hear all about the day's news and the latest traffic and travel to make sure you're not late for the office. The John Terrett Breakfast Programme, available from the 14th of November on this frequency, 104.6 FM, on BBC Radio Surrey.
Just over a week after launch, BBC Radio Surrey covered its first ever Children in Need appeal, and our involvement in both this and a host of charity and fundraising events across the county has been unfaltering. We also, in 2011, launched our first ever Community Heroes Awards. More on that to come later. One of the biggest difficulties encountered in those early days of the original BBC Radio Surrey was the lack of a strong FM signal in several parts of the area, notably in East Surrey, where most people were largely unable to hear the station at all. A big change came in 1994 with the introduction of an additional 104 FM frequency, meaning listeners could now hear dedicated programmes for Surrey for the very first time. Here's station engineer John Reynolds.
Always a problem matching the editorial area of what a radio station covers with the coverage of the transmitters, because the editorial area is a council-decided thing, really. How do the borders of Surrey look? And the transmitter coverage is the geography of what the hills and dales will allow the transmitters to do. But fortunately, with our 104 transmitter in Reigate, we're able to cover all of the east of the county and fill in all the gaps that mean that most of the area can be served, so that there are just one or two little areas where neither that nor 104.6 are good. And in more recent times, we've been able to address that by having a really good DAB service that's now been on air for about 2.5 years. And somebody looked at the same problem when they were planning the DAB service and said, if we blast lots of signal from a big transmitter north of our area, in this case at Crystal Palace, it will cover all the dodgy areas to the north, all the areas around Epsom and so on, where coverage was not so good before for the FM, and make it work really well. And that's what we do, and it means that we also have incredibly good coverage on DAB in London too. The other thing that covers the whole area is the online service, and the online service has been around for quite some time now, but is sometime later this year going to be updated to work in stereo, so you'll be able to hear online everything that you hear on air wherever you are.
Throughout the past 25 years, BBC Surrey has worked closely with our neighbours at BBC Sussex. Effectively, the service is run on a budget typically assigned to one BBC local radio station, so throughout that time, there's always been some sharing of content. In the beginning, for example, John Terrett hosted The Breakfast Show, which featured regular reports from the station's own dedicated travel presenter, Christina King. It was followed by Julian Clegg's mid-morning phone-in, which was simulcast with BBC Radio Sussex. One BBC Radio Surrey presenter, who also worked on Radio Sussex, was Stuart McIntosh.
25 years, goodness, 25 years since the launch of BBC Radio Surrey. When it was launched, John Terrett was doing breakfast in Guildford, and I was doing breakfast in Brighton. I think he had it harder than us, because that was brand new, and nobody was used to having a station that was catering for Guildford and all the surrounding areas. So Claire Paul, doing drive time as the editor of the station at Guildford, she had to do lots of management stuff. been an editor. So I was asked to do drive time in Guildford's, where I would do get up early in the morning, do breakfast at BBC Sussex in Marlborough Place, and then drive to Guildford for the afternoon to start at 4 o'clock doing drive time. So busy, it was busy. From doing that, when it became BBC Sussex and Surrey and then became Southern Counties Radio, they moved the breakfast show to Guildford. So it was an even earlier start. I used to drive to Guildford listening to the BBC World Service, never thinking that one day my ambition to go there would come true. But it did, and there I am. But that was a big problem because of the early start and the fact that you had to open up the station all by yourself. There was nobody. You opened the door, got the milk in, you turned all the lights on, and then did the breakfast show by yourself until the news person came in. So you'd do all the news, and you'd be running out into another office to get news off a printer, because there was really no computer backup then, not as it is now. We read loads of stuff off the screen, but in those days, it was all running about, and we had to get the AA and the weather centre. Saturday mornings were fun. I did 6 days a week then, but it was all right because I was a freelance, so it didn't matter. I'd do anything. I still do.
On 104 and 104.6 FM and DAB Digital Radio, BBC Surrey.
Steve Watts hosted the hour-long What's for Lunch on BBC Radio Surrey, which featured celebrity guests, topics of local interest, and his infamous weather wardens, made up of listener correspondents from across the county.
Steve Watts at lunchtime. Monday to Friday, midday till one, you'll find me here on BBC Radio Surrey. But I'll not be alone at the lunch table. Far from it, lots of special guests will be joining me with a bright mix of lunchtime conversation. And if you speak to me really nicely, I'll even squeeze along and make room for you too. There's only one place for lunch, BBC Radio Surrey, here on 104.6 FM.
So what was happening, though, in local commercial radio at that time? In the east of Surrey... Yes, it was Radio Mercury in East Surrey and North Sussex, these days part of the Heart Network of stations. And over in the west... Yes, the original County Sound Radio, these days known as Eagle Radio, but still broadcasting from Guildford. Well, one man who worked at both of those stations is a familiar voice these days on BBC Surrey. Danny Pike presents the mid-morning show, Monday through to Saturday morning, from 9 until midday.
When BBC Surrey opened, were the other existing local radio stations quaking in their boots at the prospect? Interesting thought. Well, winning and keeping audiences is always the challenge for a radio station. So if another one comes along, there's always the chance that you might leak some listeners to the newcomer, especially if it's from the BBC, because you expect it to be well done, wouldn't you? But look at it from this angle. Perhaps a BBC local station serves the area in a slightly different way from a commercial station, like football commentaries, for instance. Maybe too expensive for a commercial station, not a big enough audience return for it to be a winner. But that's when the BBC station can serve those people who want to listen to, say, the Brighton and Hove Albion games, for instance. For my view, when working commercial radio, you'd be probably more wary of a similar sort of commercial station opening up rather than a BBC local, because at least the BBC station couldn't chip away at your revenue. In the run-up to the launch of BBC Surrey, I was working at Radio Mercury in Crawley. And to be honest, I don't really remember lots of conversations about the threat posed by BBC Surrey. I think we were more looking towards London stations and stopping them poaching listeners from us. And then later on, when I was working on the breakfast show on Southern FM, we heard that BBC Sussex was getting a new breakfast show presenter. I won't say who it was, but the thought was very much, well, they'll do the news and kind of all the serious stuff, and we're here giving away cars and mucking about. So really, didn't see it as that much of a threat. But side by side, a well-run commercial station, a well-run BBC local station, does serve the area well because there's more choice for the listener, which in the end is who we're serving.
BBC Surrey Sports Update.
BBC Surrey was one of the last of the BBC local radio services to launch. As we heard earlier, the official launch of Radio Surrey was on the 14th of November 1991. A little known fact, however, was that the station first went on air initially on Saturday the 6th of September of the same year for coverage of a cricket match between Surrey and Hampshire. And sport has always been something of a USP for us, from coverage of our local football teams, including Aldershot Town, Woking and Crawley, through to a range of other sports clubs, including the Guildford Flames and Surrey Heat.
I'm Tim Durrans, and I've been lucky to be the sports editor of BBC Surrey for 17 years. In that time, I've had the honour of broadcasting live from here at Epsom, at the Derby, with Her Majesty the Queen every single year, and it is one of the great sights and sounds of our summer. The parachute is coming out of the sky, red plumes coming out of their heels.
Her Majesty is just arriving up at the winning post just now in her black limousine, and everyone waiting with bated breath to see what she is wearing. I'd say probably primrose, a lovely pale yellow.
In comes the most popular man pretty much in flat racing. Come on, he says. He punches the air. It's Frankie Dettori. He's on the back of Golden Horn. He's a one fist pump now. The famous dismount, 10 foot into the air, lands on the Surrey turf.
I can't believe it. I won the Derby. I won the Derby.
I've had the pride of covering the Commonwealth Games in 2002 when the shooting was held at Bisley.
Charlotte Kerwood with her father and flowers, her two gold medals round her neck, a Commonwealth English tracksuit, and behind a big banner with her, pictured shooting with a huge sign saying congratulations. I swing round the clubhouse, absolutely packed to the gunnels.
We were there to witness both Aldershot and Crawley Town being promoted, of course, to the Football League.
He puts his whistle to his lips. Yeah! There goes the final whistle. The away end of St James's Park erupts. Aldershot have drawn here at Exeter, and they've returned to the Football League. 16 years and 3 weeks after Aldershot folded on March the 25th, 1992.
And there is the full-time whistle. Crawley have done it. They have won promotion to the Football League for the first time in their history. And the dark days of administration, the Majeed ownership, money troubles, fan troubles, a distant memory now.
Aldershot and Crawley, of course, also enjoy great cup days, both against Manchester United, as well as for Staines and Farnborough, who have big tyres as well.
Out come the teams led, of course, by the captain, Steve Watson, with his son. To my left, the red and white balloon rise up into the sky from the clock end, the confetti fluttering in the sun that's beaming down. It doesn't get better than this for the town of Farnborough.
Baptiste is through, he's 1-on-1, great chance for Baptiste, he's scored! Farnborough have got a goal back, and that's just what they deserve. Farnborough 1, Arsenal 3. Here they come, what a night at the Wreck.
Out come the players Trafford for the proudest day in Crawley Town's 115-year history.
Every year, I also go to the golf on the European Tour at Wentworth for the flagship event, the PGA Championship.
This to finish at 17 under and to win the tournament. And in it goes, into the middle of the hole. And Paul Casey, nervelessly, with a birdie-birdie finish and a closing round of 68, wins the BMW PGA Championship.
So much history. I'm just looking at this trophy here and fantastic names that are on it. The sort of history of European golf. World golf as well, that's on this trophy. Very gratifying. Round Wentworth, huge crowds. There's something very, very special.
We've covered great rugby and cricket success for Esher, Dorking and, of course, Surrey's cricketers in their time.
And he bowled him! He's taken a hat-trick! Would you believe it? And Surrey are promoted.
That is the final whistle. Cheers go off. Esher promoted to National League Division 1.
And even in the deepest, darkest winter, we've got the darts at the Lakeside Country Club at Frimley Green. It's a wonderful sporting patch from top to bottom, from east to west, from January to December. And I'm proud to say that Surrey is my patch.
There's the final whistle. The time has run out. And the Guildford Heat, the Poosalat Heat Guildford, are the 2006-2007 BBL champions.
Unbelievable scenes here. Carl Baxter has just beaten British number one Rajiv Useb, and Surrey Smashers claim the win here.
You're listening to a special programme celebrating 25 years of BBC local radio in Surrey with me, Mark Carter. As someone who's always lived in the county myself, I care passionately about what's happening in my local area, and so do thousands of our listeners. BBC Surrey's distinctive news output has always been at the heart of what we do. These days, Alistair Munn can be found at BBC Southeast Today, one of the regional 6:30 news programmes on BBC One. But before moving into television, Alistair cut his teeth in our Guildford newsroom.
The first thing was to actually get into the studio, and it's on the University of Surrey campus. And could you, at 4:30 in the morning, drive straight into the studios? No, of course you can't. You had to go all the way around the perimeter road to the security desk. Would they let you in? No. Every time you had to get out of your car at 4:30 in the morning, and out who you were. Then you could eventually, 5 minutes later, get to the studio. You would get in, and then it was a case of just getting all the stories of the day ready. Now, in those days, it was all speech, and there was absolutely no question of having any music whatsoever. One of the tasks that I did was producing the breakfast programme, where we had new sport, travel and weather every 10 minutes. And in that time, in those 10 minutes, you had to fit in two guests. So you had to get people into our Guildford studios at 6 in the morning. So they would be on air for about 2 minutes. And so they would arrive bleary-eyed at 5 to 6, and they go, "Hello, I'm here for the breakfast show," which was with Al Clark. And he would interview them. And then 2 minutes later, he'd say, "Well, John Brown, thanks ever so much for your time." And then as a producer, you would have to go in and say, "Well, thanks ever so much for coming in." And they would look at you in disbelief, as if to say, "Have I really come in for those 2 minutes?" And you would say, "Yes, you have." And so after a good sort of 6 months of producing the breakfast programme, I then moved on as a producer of the Drive Time programme. So you'll come in slightly later. And one of the most, I suppose, exciting times was 2 minutes to five. It had been announced that John Major was going to resign as Prime Minister. And I just dropped all the carts that we played the news reports from on the floor. And I said, "Right, let's just start the whole thing again." And we went on air at 5 o'clock, not knowing what we were doing. You had a great team of journalists behind you, and they were sort of trying to fix up local MPs. And they were then coming into me saying what was going on. I was then directing that to the presenter. And actually, by 7 o'clock, it was one of the best programmes I can remember. So all in all, Radio Surrey, it had a slightly awkward birth, I seem to remember. But actually, when I left the Guildford studios, it was really some of the happiest years of my life.
That was Alistair Munk. And a number of radio voices have since moved into television, either behind the scenes or in front of the camera. Nick Miller was a BBC Surrey presenter and producer, who these days can normally be seen standing in front of a weather map on BBC One.
I can remember going in extremely early in the morning into Guildford, and that involved a drive from Manningsheath at about 2:30 in the morning. I think my alarm used to go at about 5 to 2. I used to drive at 2:30. It took about an hour. And someone else doing that journey up to Guildford to present the travel news was Joanne Good, who's now a successful radio presenter, ex-Crossroads actress, in London. And we used to joke all the time about how many rabbits we'd seen and thankfully narrowly avoided killing on the side of the road. She had a longer drive. She came from Brighton. I came from Manningsheath. The country roads through to Guildford were littered with rabbits, and they would just all sit by the road. What an earthy attraction was of sitting by the side of the road, I do not know. My favourite programme that I presented at that time was the Evening News. And that programme was an all-speech news programme, but it was fast-moving, regular news bulletins, sports bulletins, with the wonderful John Lees. I do remember the first time of sorting out the technicals of having John present sport involved the very first time a slight delay, but he could hear himself coming back into his ear, but slightly delayed from what he was saying. And it went a little bit Norman Collier. You remember the comedian who used to fake a microphone cutout? His voice would cut out when he was talking. It sounded a little bit like that. It was horrible for John. It was hugely amusing for the rest of us, but thankfully we got that little problem fixed. Those were the days. BBC Radio Surrey. A fabulous time, that very first morning of going into Guildford, not knowing anyone, to making great friends for the future.
A passion for Surrey life.
BBC Surrey.
This is BBC Surrey.
We all share a basic human need to understand what's going on around us.
This is not a time in which local authorities should simply mark time or do nothing.
BBC Surrey has reporters at home and abroad dedicated to keeping you continuously informed.
Forensic examinations were carried out inside the flat.
The issues.
This has been a lapse rather than any systemic problem.
The councillors are cutting the money from youth services, so it's quite hypocritical, really.
The politics.
It's just nice to see democracy done for a change.
BBC News from BBC Surrey.
When it comes to news coverage, in my time alone, I've covered stories as serious as the deadly foot and mouth outbreak, which had a devastating impact on local farmers, through to the thrill of presenting from the top of Box Hill as the likes of Sir Bradley Wiggins whizzed past during the 2012 Olympics. Take a listen to this and see how many of these stories you can remember from the past couple of years.
A massive fire, which has devastated an historic mansion near Guildford, is still burning this morning. Firefighters were called to Clandon Park just after four yesterday afternoon, and they're still there.
I can see in the distance, about half a mile away, Clandon House, and what a sad sight it is. There is still smoke pouring from the building. You can see that most of the building seems to be alight.
The first thing that hits you is this acrid smell in the air that surrounds the entire area, and then you see lots of firefighters who are still working away here.
Good afternoon, it's 5 o'clock. I'm Catherine Langley and this is BBC Surrey Drive. Today we're live in the grounds of Clandon Park House, 24 hours on from the major fire that's devastated the historic National Trust property.
Breakfast with James and Suzanne.
Is it a good day for Gatwick or a bad day for Gatwick?
I mean, it was somehow clear that Heathrow will be the better choice.
Because, in your view?
Well, because of its location. It's better connected.
It'd be good for the area here, but obviously we're going to lose a lot of kind of, you know, greenbelt land as well, so torn really.
Well, if it was ever expanded, this would be pretty much the southern edge of the airport in the future, but that doesn't look like it's going to happen according to Sir Howard Davis's report, although he did still say that Gatwick is a credible option. So what do you make of all that? Is Heathrow the right decision?
A big hole has appeared in the clockwise carriageway near Leatherhead during heavy rain at the start of this morning's rush hour.
Please don't head anti-clockwise. You'll head right into where it is actually closed. You will have absolutely nowhere to go at all.
Three lanes shut now, and whatever it is the police are sweeping up, it caused loads and loads of cars to have punctures by the look of it.
Huge problems for people throughout the day. Vehicles have been damaged. It's a very serious incident.
Some of that surface gave way on one of the repairs that we did. Unfortunately, a number of vehicles got damaged as a consequence of that.
You all did a sterling job, actually, in the coverage. We were very grateful for it, being stuck on the motorway.
This is the road to hell.
No information. Except for when I tuned in to you guys, which was, thank you, very helpful. Otherwise, nobody's giving you any information as to what's going on, which does not help.
The Hot Seat with Danny Pike.
Simon Jones, just give us a reflection on that. I mean, this was overnight work. We appreciate that has to happen. Why were the crews allowed to leave before the repairs were fit for purpose?
Well, that's one of the biggest questions that we're asking ourselves, to be honest. It's
any answers yet?
I think there's a number of instances that we look at the road to make sure it's safe to reopen it. And on that day, it seemed to be in the right area for us to be able to get the traffic running on it. But because of the weather conditions.
Surrey police were called at around 12:30 a.m. this morning to an address at Fetcham.
Shattering at any time, but when it's sort of virtually on your doorstep.
It's a very quiet area, it's a family area, everybody knows one another.
Earlier today, Surrey Police released details of a man we urgently want to locate in connection with these deaths.
The 38-year-old builder is being questioned on suspicion of murder.
Probably shocked the whole neighbourhood, to be honest. You know, it's very scary.
The General Election 2015.
With Mark Carter.
Very good morning to you and welcome. It is 5 minutes past midnight and it is Mark Carter between now and 6 o'clock this morning. Election 2015, the results. We have reporters at all the counts from East Surrey to North East Hampshire. We've got them all covered, plus of course the latest on the national picture as well.
BBC Surrey, live from Runnymede, celebrating 800 years of the Magna Carta.
Good morning. It's 6 o'clock. The flags are fluttering on a dull morning live from Runnymede, where after 800 years, we celebrate Magna Carta. Good morning. Hello. It's BBC Surrey Breakfast. I'm James Cannon with Suzanne Bamborough, who has your news.
And it's a good morning from the meadows of Runnymede as Surrey hosts international celebrations.
Just away to our right here, looks like Her Majesty the Queen is arriving, David.
In almost exactly the same direction as John himself came, and she's coming from the same building. John was at Windsor and he did that route. But I hope the Queen is in a better temper than John would have been 800 years ago.
And this is the very land where that law and the rights that flow from it took root. Magna Carta introduced the idea that we should write these things down and live by them.
There are the red arrows. They never fail to excite.
Coming to you live from Stoke Park for Armed Forces Day 2015. This is Danny Pike. Good morning. Adrian Harm's got a great vantage point for that. Where are you, Adrian?
I'll tell you what, Danny, we've got the best seat in the house. We're literally by the Guildhall. We've commandeered first floor window of a shop here in Guildford High Street, looking straight down the high street. Lots of crowds gathering, lots of people here with union flags. Probably about 50 yards from where I'm standing underneath Tunsgate Arch, I can see the Duke of York. The band of the Royal Marines is now crossing the town bridge right in the heart of Guildford. Here come the Red Arrows. Listen to this.
It was incredible. I just cried. I didn't realise I was going to be so emotional. I just found it all so moving.
Very proud to be British.
We may allow ourselves a brief period of rejoicing. Today is Victory in Europe Day.
I remember back now, and that's 70 years ago, VE Night and VJ Night are the most wonderful nights of my life. I shall never, ever forget them.
The celebrating went on all night. How thoroughly the millions everywhere had earned all this.
Papa, don't you fence me in.
You're listening to BBC Surrey, and if you're a regular listener, you'll know that we still share some of our programmes with BBC Sussex to this day. However, now, more than ever, technology allows us to maintain a distinctly local feel, and this includes the provision of dedicated local news bulletins for our county. Engineer John Reynolds again.
We add local output to our shared programmes in several ways. The programmes that we share with BBC Sussex, maybe Danny's programme or Alison's programme, for example, will have split jingles in them so that when you hear it say whatever it says on BBC Surrey, there'll be another jingle playing in Sussex saying on BBC Sussex. They both have the same music, they both have the same voice, but they make it sound as local as we can. We can do the same thing with more complicated items like the news, and we have quite a clever system with the news bulletins, where our newsreaders prepare more than one bulletin. So they can prepare a bulletin for Sussex and they can also prepare our Surrey bulletin. Sometimes two of them will read these bulletins, one in each area, and sometimes the person who's reading one of the bulletins will record the other one 5 minutes before and then press a button to play the recorded one out whilst they're reading the live one. Whichever way they do it, they both run to exactly the same time, and then you'll hear the news jingle come on at the end, and they've both stopped reading together. Another thing we do in a similar way is to record what's on events, and that works by two people, one in each of the area, so that it's a voice that you know, records what's on items for that area, and they get played out at the same time by the system, automatically, just the same as a jingle would be, but lasting longer, so that you hear the voice you know talking about the area that you know.
John Reynolds. Well, another lesser-known fact about the BBC in Surrey is that we actually have two studios in the county. Our main premises have always been the purpose-built studios in Guildford on the University of Surrey campus, but we also have a satellite studio in Godston. Sylvie Blackmore takes up the story.
BBC Surrey. Travel you trust.
The BBC and its listeners call me the First Lady of Travel and sometimes SatNav Sylv. Why? Because I'm now in my 11th year of delivering travel news to the commuters, workers and our listeners across Surrey. As we've just heard, I have a satellite studio in Godstone. So let me take you on a little tour and explain why our travel news is the best in the business and why at BBC Surrey we call it Travel You Trust. It's massive in here. All those huge screens on my right cover an entire wall, and we call them the DDS boards. That stands for digital display screens. These screens allow us to look at multiple roads, routes and locations at once. On my left are the Highways England control room operators. They're responsible for coordinating emergency services and recovery for a variety of incidents on the motorway network and the local roads of Surrey. If you were to break down on the M25, for example, and pick up one of those orange phones on the hard shoulder, it's one of these operators who will take your call. My studio is in one corner, and this is where I present our travel news on your drive home every week from Monday to Friday. As well as my headphones, microphone and PC, I have the same equipment on my desk as the Highways England staff, and this is the kit that allows me to look at motorway cameras across the whole of Surrey and beyond. If I click on a camera, that stretch of the road appears on my TV monitor. But that's not all. How clever is this? I can zoom each camera in and out, and I can rotate it 360 degrees, and, wait for it, I can even use the wipers if it's raining. So why does all this mean that I can bring you the most accurate and informative travel on the radio? Well, because I'm the only presenter in the country with a studio inside a live operations room with access to people and technology at my fingertips. My BBC setup at Highways England in Godstone is not only unique, but enables the staff here and the emergency services on the ground to tell me first when an incident occurs. And, in return, it allows me to help them by getting the message out to you, the motorist, faster than any other travel service on the radio. So I can steer you away from the hot spots and help the emergency services deal with the incident and subsequent congestion more effectively.
BBC Surrey. Travel you trust. Call 0370 411 1046.
The original name of BBC Radio Surrey was relatively short-lived, but our studios in Guildford continue to provide programmes for the county under a brand new name.
In Eastbourne, Dorking, Midhurst, Guildford, Uckfield, Arundel and Redhill, this is BBC Southern Counties Radio.
Yes, on the 1st of August 1994, the station's name was changed to BBC Southern Counties Radio. At first, it ran a single all-talk schedule across Sussex and Surrey, but in September 1997, a dedicated breakfast show for the county was reintroduced, followed by a drive-time show hosted by me in April 2006. Let's hear now from one of the most recognisable voices of the Southern Counties radio period.
Hello, I'm Bill Buckley, and I presented the afternoon show for 9 years, which is the longest I've broadcast regularly on any radio station during my 28 years of full-time radio presenting, which probably tells you how much I enjoyed my time there. I interviewed hundreds, I suppose probably thousands of people during that time for all sorts of reasons. Among my favourite interviewees, the ones that have really stuck in my mind, are two politicians. Now, they couldn't be further apart on the political spectrum, but what they had in common was their willingness to answer any question fully and honestly. Yes, I know, MPs prepared to do that. Who'd have thought? They were Anne Widdecombe and the late Tony Benn. Of the countless celebrities I locked verbal horns with, Brian Ferry stands out. Not because he's a musical icon, but because I'd heard he was a shy man who really disliked being interviewed. And that made me pretty nervous, as perhaps you can imagine.
Yesterday, well, it seems so cool.
And sure enough, his first answers were short and guarded. But somehow I managed to win him over. And by the end of it, we were joking around and I was actually daring to cheek him a bit. What a relief. Sheila Ferguson, lead singer of the 3 Degrees and so much more, was an absolute joy, ebullient, unguarded, clearly very intelligent. Her analysis, for example, of what makes the Philadelphia sound, that being the record label the Three Degrees recorded on alongside the Stylistics and Billy Paul, Lou Rawls, Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes, the OJs and so many more, was masterly. And she wasn't pre-warned that I'd be asking.
It's the same old story. You care but you don't love me.
Every broadcaster, actor, public speaker, whatever, when something highly inappropriate seems unbearably funny and you can't stop laughing, mainly because you know you shouldn't be laughing. Well, my worst crime of that kind happened during my time at the station. I was reading out the What's Ons and there was a brass band concert and I said, so the brass band concert kicks off at 7:30, and then I mused, actually you wouldn't say kick off, would you? That's more sporting. So how would a brass band concert start? Blow off, I suppose. And as the words came out of my mouth, I realised there was another less fragrant interpretation of the phrase blow off, and I was pretty helpless for quite a while. I listened to it back and it's just one long wheeze as I can't get any words out. Great times, great colleagues, and even some great radio, just occasionally when I was on form. I miss it still.
Great to hear Bill Buckley back on the airwaves of Surrey and North East Hampshire. Well, finally, in 2009, we went back to the future. Yes, the county name returned to the radio station's name on the 30th of March 2009, when BBC Surrey became the new name for BBC Southern Counties Radio in Surrey, North East Hampshire and North West Sussex. A very good morning and welcome to a brand new name for your favourite radio station. Welcome for the very first time to BBC Surrey. This is the Mark Carter Breakfast Show. It is 7 o'clock on Monday the 30th of March 2009. Emma James has our lead story this hour.
The leader of Surrey County Council will stand down in June.
Also on the way in the next 60 minutes, Ben has news of big problems on the A3. He'll be live there for us. And the weather headline for this first day of BBC Surrey, a cold, dry start to the morning, bright with sunshine, then turning cloudier from the west, and some showers this afternoon. A high of 13 degrees Celsius, that's 55 Fahrenheit. The news in detail at 7. Good morning to Emma James.
Thanks, Mark. Good morning. The leader of Surrey County Council will be speaking to BBC Surrey in just over an hour's time. He stood down as the leader of the ruling Conservative group.
In 2010, I moved back to Drive Time with Nick Wallace taking over the breakfast show. These days, though, Nick can be seen reporting for The One Show on BBC One. And BBC Surrey Breakfast is now hosted by James Cannon and Suzanne Bambra.
Breakfast with James and Suzanne.
On BBC Surrey Breakfast, we like to make a good impression. That's Georgina at the BBC Weather Centre. Tim on the sports desk.
Everybody should pay their fair share of taxation.
And Adam, our business reporter.
Wake up to breakfast.
Join us for weather, sport, business, entertainment and news as we try to make a good impression.
James Cannon and Suzanne Bambra on BBC Surrey.
So what happens behind the scenes here at BBC Surrey? Now, we've been asked to explain a bit. Now, the reality is, Suzanne, you do really all the work.
Yeah, basically. And I'm always the first one in the building. It's always pitch black when I come in. I turn all the lights on turn the computers on. And then actually, one of the first things I do is I have to ring all the emergency services to find out if anything's been going on overnight. And then you wander in.
Saunter is the word you're looking.
Wander.
It's interesting. 5:10 in the morning. It's a small team, but yeah, busy. And a lot of people think, well, what are you doing? Who's up? Well, there's also the wires coming in from all the newsrooms around the world. And it's a question of us looking at what the team from the previous day have left us and really tweaking things, isn't it?
Yeah,
really?
Indeed. And seeing if there's any updates and looking through our television colleagues as well and finding out if there's anything that we need to bring you. And the thing with radio is no 2 days are the same. You know, every day there is something different.
I always moan about the weather forecast because we get it sent down by the Weather Centre. And I always ask everyone what their journey to work was like. Was it misty? Was it wet? Was it cold? And it's bizarre how different it is in different parts of the county.
Yeah, it is. And completely, you always ask me, what was it misty as you came through Hindhead? And it always misty through Hindhead, isn't it? I tell you what, the most important thing for me, though, is of what you do in the morning.
I know. Well, it's coffee.
It's the coffee.
Yeah. So we have a cafetiere coffee. And on the rare occasion, well, it's happened only once this year, somebody broke the cafetiere the day before.
Mm. We felt we couldn't function without that proper cup of coffee in the morning.
If anyone ever moans to me about their journey to work and always getting stuck in traffic, I said, well, you do have a choice. You could drive around at 5 o'clock in the morning and there isn't an awful lot around. That is the surprising thing, once we're on air, is how busy it gets in Surrey, really within a matter of minutes. M25... bizarre. If you've not been on it, if you go on holiday any time and you're heading maybe to Gatwick or Heathrow and you suddenly take that road and you suddenly, and where are all these people going? It is an absolute hive of activity. So things really do start to bubble up. What happens whilst we're on air is you and I are in the studio.
Yep.
We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 screens in front of me. You've got 2, 3 and 4 in front of you.
Yeah, we've got 3 clocks as well to keep us on to time.
And then a team the other side of the glass, which at the moment is Mitch alongside Cam. And between them, they sort of make sure we get all the phone calls and the lines speaking to our reporters, which could be round the corner, could be Adrian Harms just down the road, maybe, I don't know, in Godalming or maybe Godstone, or we could be talking to Paul Rowley in Westminster. And the great thing about working here at the BBC is we've got this one computer in front of us, which literally is the guru of all things. And it links us to each other and also to the BBC around the world. We can see what our colleagues are doing on other stations and on other news networks. We get a constant feed of breaking news as well. So the important thing for us is obviously to give you the news that's happening right now, and also that could be around the corner, could be around the world. Anyway, that's a little sort of insight as to what goes on here at BBC Surrey.
James Cannon and Suzanne Bambara on BBC Surrey.
One of the biggest things we've done in recent years was the launch of our BBC Surrey Community Heroes Awards back in 2011. The annual event recognises unsung heroes from across the local area. Pauline Hedges from Surrey is a previous recipient of that award. This is why BBC Surrey is an essential local service for her.
I feel as if I'm amongst friends. Everything that you talk about, I understand. You could say on the radio, it was raining on the way to the studio this morning. And I know it was raining because I live round the corner. Everything that you're interested in is what interests me. I do feel part of. I'm part of you and you're part of our lives. What we do without our local radio station, without our BBC local radio station, I really don't know. Because you're the Beeb. You are the cream of the crop. I remember specifically a wonderful Christmas Eve. It was the Christmas party to end all Christmas parties. We were in the studio. It was about 3 till 6 or something like that. We sang carols. We danced around the studio. It was a wonderful way to start Christmas because it was 6 or 7 total strangers who weren't total strangers. We were friends who hadn't met before. And that's what's so special about local radio, that we are all friends, just we haven't yet met each other face to face. I would say that the radio station has added a huge amount to my life. All of it good. Occasionally I'm rung up to ask, would you talk about divorce or car parking or business rates, because they're all things I've been involved in. And I feel as if I have something to contribute to the rest of the county. In the same way as I listen to someone, my old friend Keith or Diana or Tony, and I'm listening to them telling me about their specifics. So it enhances my life, enriches my life. And when I'm sitting at home on my own or when I'm in the car, I'm not alone. I've got friends at the other end of the speaker. And if I want to, I can ring them up and say, could you just say so and so? And I feel as if I belong. Well, the word is local because you're local, I'm local. But it's more than that. One word isn't enough. It's about being a part of. I belong. I belong to you. You belong to me.
Wonderful Pauline Hedges. And it must be said that all of the winners in our Community Heroes Awards have been absolutely incredible. Perhaps the one, though, that stands out most for me was one of our 2014 recipients, Amanda Jones from Camberley. Amanda lost her daughter Bex in her 30s to breast cancer and has worked tirelessly since, raising funds for charity.
This was the moment that we surprised her at the ceremony.
You're listening to the BBC Sussex and BBC Surrey Community Hero Awards.
Good evening. Welcome to this very special celebration.
We've got a big, wonderful night. Great to see so many people here. Especially like to welcome us as well, our audience listening online. Say hello, everyone.
Before we let Amanda sit down, just a few words. This has come as a bit of a shock, I gather.
Just a little.
Do you feel able to say a couple of words?
I am completely amazed. I am so privileged to be here tonight, and I just can't thank you all enough for such a wonderful reception. I've been given the most wonderful opportunities through your two radio stations to talk about something that's so close to my heart, which is the charity Breakthrough Breast Cancer. But as I said in the clip, more than that, to be able to talk so much about my darling daughter, Bex. Thank you so much for giving me this incredible surprise. I'm very happy to go and give someone else as well. But thank you all so much. Thank you to BBC Surrey and Sussex. You know, you're all part of an amazing organisation, and I know I've said this before, local radio is most hugely important, and the jobs that you all do on these two stations is quite incredible, and I hope that you will go on strength to strength. Thank you again very much for your reception and for this wonderful award.
The one and only Amanda Jones, who incidentally will be a guest at this year's awards, taking place at the end of this month. Before we know it, we'll be taking nominations for the 2017 awards, while friend of the station Dinah Roberts is from Visit Surrey and from the Guildford Tourist Information Centre. She has these words of advice for anyone thinking of making a nomination.
I would very much encourage people to nominate community heroes in their area for these awards. It works on so many levels because for those who are normally unsung, for the individuals that are doing stuff more or less unnoticed, they are a massive value in their street or their club or wherever they work. But there's no other mechanism by which you can give such a big public thank you to these people. So if you know someone like that, nominate them. For the charities and the organisations that are involved in these awards, it's a brilliant opportunity to raise their profile because the BBC do brilliant interviews in advance for all those that have been shortlisted. There's lots of interviews aired on the day, and obviously the show, the awards ceremony itself is also broadcast. And for some charities, that is a massive profile raising exercise that is well worth it, even if they don't walk away with the actual prize. Taking it on, if they do get the prize, that's really valuable when they're applying. Most of the time when you're applying for funding, you've got to say what awards you've won. And to have won a BBC Community Heroes Award, you know, that carries some weight. So it works on so many levels for all sorts of different people who are working in the local community. So if you know a deserving cause, whether it's a club, a charity or an individual, please nominate them.
As we draw to a close of this special look back of BBC Local Radio in Surrey, what do we expect might happen in the future? The Culture Secretary, John Whittingdale, sent out the government's white paper on the future of the corporation, suggesting a major overhaul of how the BBC is run, including a new requirement for the corporation to provide distinctive content. But he added that he's a great supporter of BBC Local Radio and said that such a service remains vital in times of crisis.
Well, I very much agree with my honourable friend about the importance of BBC regional and local broadcasting. It is one of those areas, particularly in terms of BBC Local Radio, where it is very difficult to imagine that the commercial sector would ever provide the kind of news broadcasting and local community information that the BBC provide. And that is certainly one of the BBC's strengths, which I hope to see will continue and strengthen in the future.
In turn, then, how might BBC Surrey sound in years to come? These days, admittedly, the team is involved in more than just radio. On a typical day, they might be posting on our BBC Surrey social media sites on Facebook or on Twitter, or writing an update for the BBC News website. However, for me, radio remains at the heart of what we do, a unique and very personal medium, and that relationship with each and every one of our listeners is one that I'll continue to cherish. Let's hear, though, finally, one more time from the very first voice of BBC Surrey, our original breakfast presenter, John Terrett.
I think BBC Local Radio has always been crucially important to the success of the BBC as a whole. And I don't think that is going to change. The idea behind local radio always was, and I think still is, that it is the BBC's representative in the high street. It's the place where people who watch BBC One and BBC Two and listen to the national networks, it's the place where they can see the BBC in their hometown or in their home county. And they drive past it and they listen to the local radio stations. And I think that the future of BBC local radio is extremely bright. And I'll tell you why. Because music is available absolutely everywhere these days. It's streaming, it's available on people's iPods. But talk and conversation and ideas and the interaction between human beings is what BBC local radio is all about. And I think that as we go into the future, radio is going to change. There will still be music services, but the really big growth prospect, I think, is for talk. And so for BBC local radio, the more local conversation, the more local ideas, the more phone-ins, the more outside broadcasting that can be done, as the stations just reflect people's lives on a daily basis, their jobs, the things they do at the weekend, anything that impacts the county from outside, all of that can be discussed at length on BBC local radio. And I think that's where the future is. And I think the stations will only survive and thrive going forward into the future.
My thanks then to John Terrett and indeed to all of the contributors to this special programme. Thanks too go to producer David Miller for his hard work in raiding the archives and bringing this special celebration together. So here's to the next 25 years of BBC local radio in Surrey and North East Hampshire. I'm Mark Carter, and whether you've been there from day one or you've just found us for the very first time, well, a big thank you for listening.
FM, online and digital radio. This is BBC Surrey.
BBC News at 8 o'clock. I'm Sarah Loudon. The Old Bailey's heard that the man accused of murdering Joe Cox...